that would be this. If it's your lower back, you go.
Right, so it alternates. All right, so today is the 29th of October, 2019. It is the 30th of Tishrei, Tav Shin Pei, Torah Shabbat Pei, right, Tav Shin Pei. And we are beginning the book of Devarim. We did Chumash and Rashi over the last two meetings, and now we have our Rishonim day. So yesterday, we should not be accused of skipping the introduction of the Ramban to Devarim. We already did that yesterday, but just he is all of this, and with regards to what mitzvahs are given, are all a preparation for Bnei Yisrael to go into the land of Israel. Now, the mitzvahs and the tochacha that's given in the beginning, the first couple of parshios, Devarim, Veschanan and Rei, and Ekev, are mostly most of the Ekev Rei starts getting into mitzvos, and then that sets the scene for several parshios of a lot of mitzvos. What mitzvos are there? So some of them are repeats that require some extra enforcement. Some of them are mitzvos that have not yet been given, but the Ramban tells us, don't worry, they all were given earlier. They're just not mentioned in the Torah until now. But they were given at this point from Moshe, emanating from Moshe himself, which is why the Ramban points out, doesn't say anywhere over the course of Devarim, by Devar Hashem L'Shalim Morder Bel B'nei Yisrael, plus all of this stuff are things that came from earlier. And then he points out also that there's things that are not mentioned over the course, the mitzvot that are not mentioned over the course of this book, and those have to do with Kachim Korbanos, things that fall within the domain of the Kohanim, because the Kohanim are considered very careful, and they've been keeping a careful track of all of these mitzvahs from when they were commanded in over the course of the book of Vayikra, and therefore don't need to be mentioned here. So all of that is contained in the Ramban's introduction. So the one to mention as well, so the Or HaChaim also gives a little bit of an introduction. So the Or HaChaim says, Eila Hadvarim, that the word Eila Miyat Hakodim, that the word Eila is like excluding something from before. I mean, these things as opposed to the way it was before. So what is that? Perish. L'fisha Amar Asher Dibir Moshe Shehem Dabru Atzmo. These are the things which Moshe spoke of, because these are the things that Moshe said himself. Same concept. She calls Sefer Tuchachus Umusar Be Moshe L'Over Pi Hashem. That these are all things, Tuchachus and Musar, from Moshe, according to what Hashem would want, but these are not... But these are actually emanating from Moshe himself. And he continues on and says that all the for the four books that came before, Lo Amar Afilu Os Achas Me'aso, he didn't even say one letter from himself. El Advarim Shiyasu Piha Mitzvos Kitzurasan Below Shum Shino. These are all things that came from the mitzvos without any difference at all. As opposed to now, this is sort of giving Moshe's perspective. Now, how does that work exactly? Are there ramifications to that? About what Moshe, this is sort of Moshe working a little bit more on his own as opposed to just verbatim speaking from Hashem. So that's difficult. It's also a little hard to know how that worked in the past, even by the stories. I mean, when Moshe hit the rock, is that also Al-Pi Hashem? Or does it just mean that the writing of the Torah was Al-Pi Hashem? That's probably what the Or HaChaim is referring to. But then he also adds on and says that, Od Yirtzeh Lahagid HaKasos Shekol Arba Shana Shehaya Moshe Ro Yisrael B'Midbar Lo Dibar Lahem Kashos Zulos Eila Hadvarim Hu Shadibar Kashos. That all of those times that Moshe was until Bamidbar, he did not speak to them kashos. What is kashos? Harshly. Moshe never spoke to Bnei Yisrael harshly before. We good with that? So hold on. Zulus Eilad Varm, except for here, which is speaking somewhat harshly. And he says, and Sabru's like, hey, wait a second. What about when he hit the rock? Right? What did he call the Jews at that point? Rebels, Shimuna Hamorim. I've a gavsha metzidu she'amar lahem Shimuna Hamorim. And even though we find at the end, or in Parshas Chukas, that Moshe says, "Listen, O rebellious ones." This is a bit of a chiddush. Lo amar davar zel l'chlalos Yisrael. He wasn't saying that to all the Jews. El l'chelik echa chayimorim hara. Only those people who were rebelling at that time. V'chein amar b'sefer Zohar. That's what says in Zohar as well. Aval l'chol Yisrael l'dibar kashos zulos elam. He never spoke harshly to the entire Bnei Yisrael until you get to Devarim, where he is giving tochacha to Bnei Yisrael as a whole. Right? I don't know, take it or leave it. That's a little difficult to stomach there. But okay, that's what the Or HaChaim suggested. That's why this is different, that here was Tochacha to all of Klal Yisrael as opposed to before, which, yes, it's true, Moshe may have spoken harshly, but that was never to Klal Yisrael as a whole.
What do you call them, stiff-necked people?
Well, that's also a positive. And it's also, I mean, you can make the case there also. He's speaking about those people who violated the Chet Egel, which wasn't everyone. But even that, the pasuk of Am Kishei Oref, of stick the people, is also used as a way of getting forgiveness, right? The Moshe, when we say it on Narleining on fast days, Ki Am Kishei Orefu v'salachta olavadeinu chataseinu nuchaltanu, right? Because they are stiff-necked people, therefore you should give them forgiveness. Right? So, okay, so, and also comments, Asher Dibir Moshe, so he makes the comment here, this is Orach Chaim still, Perishavisha Matzinu Sho Chiach Yisrael Al Masha Hamru Al Yamsuf, Al Yambi Yamsuf, Vyoma Omer Val Lo Otam Shem Maru Al Yamsuf Farmesu, asked Orach Chaim, hey, all these people that Moshe is complaining about, they're all dead. Right, those people who caused the problem. Now the hitting of the rock took place later, but the Chet Egel references here in this pasuk. Right, they're all dead already at this point. So why is he bringing them up? Kol demaimer zeshel Moshe v'im kein ela hat v'nishma b'chamisha sar ba'av shel shnasar ba'im. Didn't that just finish up in the 15th of Av of the 40th year? What's he talking about there? So that's probably the original reason to celebrate Tu B'Av. That the ninth of Av, what? Is when they used to lay down in their graves in order, expecting that they would die, and then they figure, oh, we must have gotten the wrong night, and then you got to Tu B'Av and you saw that the moon was full already. Ah, it must be that we're safe, that we're good. So therefore, there's a celebration of Tu B'Av, which is a little bit odd, right? We're celebrating the fact that God didn't kill it, like. Okay, but anyways, so Laza Amar Hashem Dibir Moshe. So Perish Imayu Advar Mipi Hashem In Mokul Medaber Lehem Kashas. He says, well, if these were coming from Hashem, you wouldn't be able to speak to them harshly. Aval Moshe Hu Amedaber V'Yachol Liser Gam Otam Shehayu Az Pachsven Aserim. He says, who died from those earlier sins? Who died? Yeah, how old did you have to be?
Over 20.
So the Orach Chaim says, aha. If Moshe was speaking straight from Hashem, you're right. He wouldn't be able to give tochacha to these people because everybody above the age of 20 is already gone. But Moshe is speaking from himself. And Moshe is speaking to himself. Shalom nixer. Ki based in shalmata manish ben yud gimel. He says, yes, it's true. Hashem doesn't punish until you're 20 and up. But human courts do. And if Moshe is speaking just by way of Hashem, you're right, maybe he wouldn't be able to give tochacha, he wouldn't be able to give that the rebuke. But if Moshe is speaking from himself, so he's speaking on based in shalmata terms, right? The lower court terms. So on lower court terms, guess what? You're liable for punishment as soon as you turn 13. Right? V'keneged osan shayu ben yud gimel b'yamsuf hu shedibir Moshe kashos. And for those, so therefore those who were already 13, that's who Moshe is speaking harshly to. There are still people that are around that very much remembered the Chet Egel. They were between the ages of 13 and 20 at the time, and therefore Moshe reserves the right to rebuke, to remind them and rebuke them for that up here. Okay. So a couple of other things early on in this parak here. So we can turn to Pasuk Hey. So Pasuk Hey, Be'eva Yaradim Be'eretz Moav, Ho'il Moshe, Be'eretz HaTorah Azos Limor. That Moshe began to say over this. So what does it mean say over? What's he saying over exactly? So says the Sforno, very interesting. Va'achar shelo ayu od noyim minadim ki ba'arvos moav haisa chaniya hamasa achron. He says they're no longer moving around anymore. The arvos moav, the plains of Moav, that's their last stop. V'al zeh achar shekfar hischanein v'noish mehisig lavor ho'a leva'er ma'ashe chashav sheyipol bo safek. So Moshe realized that he's not going to go any further. He wants to teach them because he's concerned about sveikos that will come after his death. He's teaching Torah here and trying to avoid question marks that are going to come after he passes away. And he continues, the Sforno continues on and says, Lemar v'kum shehischa b'viur asher b'harbi lahazio al-ksas ha-mitzos amr li-yisrael shesibos ha-tzorach al-zeh ha-biur v'asaros atahaya b'fnei shehim ovrim l'eretz biladov. Right? He's explaining, the reason I have to teach this all to you is because you're about to go into the land without me. V'lo yochul azhirim b'shas maisen. I'm not going to be there to paskin your shaylas anymore. To when they come up. V'lo levar al kol suffik sheipol. I'm not going to be able to explain every suffik that comes up. V'siper eich nichshelu bazeh shelo yavor hu imahem baro b'chirasam b'sheihem l'man yishmeru mizeh mikanu l'ava l'viti hashchias inyanim. So therefore he's explaining to them so that they will not have any sveikos that will come, that they won't sin, that they won't do the wrong thing, and that they'll be able to be careful about things going forward. Now, is that true? Now, the Sforno, in the footnotes to the Sforno, in Rabbi Pelkovitz, Rabbi Paul Pelkovitz, who wrote the translation of the Sforno, put his own notes on the bottom, so he points out this is very similar to what the Rambam says. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Perush HaMishnayos, introduction to the Mishnah, which is also really an introduction to all of Torah Sheval Peh, explains that that's what's going on. At the end of Moshe's life, he tried to avoid all these fakes. Was he successful? Right. Well, if he was successful, he wouldn't have a Gemara class, right? He wasn't. Was it the unsuccessful because somehow it's impossible, or was he unsuccessful because there was something that happened that made it unsuccessful? So maybe we'll see that over the course of the of the book. We wouldn't have sfeikus in learning and sfeikus in Torah. I don't think it's a messianic statement. It's a Torah statement. It would be questions. Yeah. Okay. Continue on a little bit. So perhaps that also helps us understand why there's so much discussion about the judges. That the first major topic he makes reference to various sins that Bnei Yisrael did, but the first major topic in this barak has to do with the choosing of judges and the appointing of judges and setting up a hierarchy system of lower judges and upper judges. So the Sforno spells it out as that this is a problem. Right, that we required this. That this is part of the mussar. This is part of the tochacha that Moshe is giving. The Sforno says, "Vanyani hadin v'tfias mamun v'zeh siper laskirim es pisha'am." That Moshe makes reference to their sins. In what way? Sha'afa pisha biser osam sheyichlus l'aretz l'voltishu milchama. Because Hashem is telling them, "I'm about to take you into the land of Israel, and there's not going to be any war. There's not going to be any battle. You're just going to be able to plow right in." Right. This is before we get to the sin of the Meraglim. Right? He's going to go right in, everybody's going to be afraid of you. And what's going to happen when you're going to go right in and conquer everything? You're going to have more wealth and riches than you could have imagined before, but everybody's going to just run away and leave it behind. Right? You're going to be able to multiply any of the nechasim, any of the money, any of the wealth that you have in the midbar, still lo nimnu mil orer divrei rivos ish al chaveru. Still, you couldn't avoid fighting. I've always wondered about this. You couldn't avoid fighting in the desert with people. But ofer shahutzrach limnos madregel shoftim, to the point that you needed a hierarchy of judges. Right? What were they fighting about in the desert already? Who are they? What property did they have? Right? They're arguing about whose tent pole went where. Right? Well, that tzchach that blew off, right? What are they talking about? So the Sforno says, yeah, that's a rebuke. That's a rebuke. What are you fighting about already? That not just that you need to go to judges, but that you need a hierarchy. You're even going to appeal the goat that went into the other guy's sukkah. Well, nevertheless, you could have gone into the land of Israel and be able to get more wealth and riches than you could have imagined. That's part of the tochacha that's being given to Bnei Israel. That's what the Sforno says. However, one could also just understand it as just facing the reality that this is really the preparations of going into the land of Israel without Moshe. That's what I always understood. Is that Moshe is getting them set. Right? And the answer to every question of Devarim is going to be, was they had to get ready for a life in Eretz Yisrael. So part of the life in Eretz Yisrael is the reality of having to divvy up all this wealth. Okay. So they came to me in Pasuk Yudalin. In verse 14 it says, Pasuk Yudbeis, it's how am I going to deal with all of you? We're going to get these otherwise people, and then Pasuk Yudal, Vatanu Osi Vatomru Tov Hadavar Shidi Bartalasos. You came to me and you said, "Oh, it's a good idea, Tako. It's a good idea that you said that we should have this hierarchy of judges." Now there's a little bit of a problem there, right? In fact, Rashi points out that this whole thing is a gnai, is also a tochacha to Bnei Yisrael. Why? So Rashi says, Hayalachem lahashiv, you should have answered. When I told you, you don't need me, you're gonna have a hierarchy, you're gonna have a local court, and if there's a problem, they'll come to the higher court, and eventually you'll make it up to me. So what should your answer have been, says Rashi? You should have turned around and says, what? Right? Well, we don't want to learn from these lesser judges, right? We want you. You're Moshe, right? Rabbeinu Moshe, mi no lomu, mimcha o mi talmidecha. Who's better to learn from you or from your students? Lo mimcha shenit stara aleha el yadati machshav osechem ha'yisvor ma'achshav yismun aleinu dainim harbe imi makirenu anu mavim lo doron v'hu no se lo pan. But you didn't say that. Rather, you said, oh, we know your thoughts, and you might have said that, oh, now we have these lesser judges that not only will we'd be able to go to, but we'll be able to perhaps pick off and bribe and all these kinds of things. And who knows, maybe they'll just set an injunction that will stop the whole government from working. You know, they can do that too, I heard. But that's Rashi's shot. In fact, where did Rashi see that? I mean, the Pasuk says, Bnei Yisrael said, it's a good idea. So where does Rashi pick up on the fact that it's a problem? Maybe it's the first word. It says, Vatanu osi. You argued to me, it's a good thing. I mean, that's not a normal language. But Tanu is a language of like a taina, a complaint. You complain to me, it's a good idea. How does that work? Right? So rather, it's a, you complain to me, meaning it was a problem. He's giving them a muster that your acceptance of these lesser judges, or that or the reality that we're going to have lesser judges, so that's... So that's a reality that you accepted too well. So the Or HaChaim points out, he says, well, yeah, but maybe you could actually read it in a different way. The Or HaChaim says, Varaseinu, he quotes that Rashi that is critical of Bnei Yisrael for accepting these judges, so that's coming from the Sifri. So Or HaChaim quotes that Sifri and turns around and says, V'efshar lefar shakasub l'shvach. But it's also possible to explain the Pasuk in a good way. What is that? She Yisrael nitzdaru al adavar, aval lahanas Moshe machu al asman. That maybe Bnei Yisrael was upset about this, but they realized it would be good for Moshe. They realized it would be good for Moshe. That they were upset, and right plus the Or HaChaim is also bothered potentially by the mixed messages that's coming out of this pasuk. Right, the first part of the pasuk says the people complained that it's a good idea, Moshe, what you're suggesting. So how do you put the two of them together? So Rashi says, because Bnei Yisrael really, it was a bad thing. They shouldn't have accepted this the way that they accepted, and that's what the Pasuk is hinting to. So the Or HaChaim turns around and says, well, maybe they accepted it. They said it's a good idea, but they didn't like it. In fact, and that's a good thing. They turn to Moshe and says, Moshe, we really want to learn from you, and we want you to give this year. But what can we say? You know, we understand that you need some time to yourself. Right? She certainly sara al davar aval lahanas. Moshe machlo al atzma. They're mochel, so we're willing to be mochel and give you some time, and we'll learn from some lesser judges during that time. Vu omru tova davar lahakel me'al rabbeinu. And they said, yeah, it's good that we be easier on our rebbe. Hagamshu kasha etzleinu la'asoso l'ilmod mipi talmidecha. Vu omru asher dibart the davarim kashim etzleinu la'asoso sam, that it's difficult for us to accept this. Vagamshu mi'achar bo l'chlal tochachos ulai she. And the fact that this is coming within the list of tochachos, perhaps they should have been more upset about this. I mean, where did the idea come from that Moshe should have that Moshe should find assistant judges? Yeah, it came from Yisro. So maybe the Jews should have said, "Who's this Yisro guy giving you advice?" Right, that's not. He's just looking out for his daughter, who won, you know, that she's got to change too many diapers. Right? Maybe that's what his motivation is. Maybe Israel should have complained a little bit more. But yet that's why it's in the list of tochachos. But at least that's they were understand. Maybe it's a way of reading it of Bnei Israel perhaps in a better light. And maybe the Or HaChaim suggests is that maybe both are correct. That on one hand, it is a praising type of pasuk thank you, Bnei Yisrael, for being so understanding that I'm only human. On the other hand, it's also a tochacha pasuk that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't have accepted this. And in fact, maybe it's going to different people. Says the Or HaChaim that Moshe said this. It's a double entendre. I don't know if that fits in here or not, but it's a double entendre. I mean, some people who were happy about this idea, they now, we'll have these lesser judges that we'll be able to bribe, and some people were unhappy about it, but they liked learning from me, but they understood that it would be a good idea that I have a little bit more time off. And each person could take the message as they see fit for themselves, because each person should be able to understand themselves where they're coming from, right? So that's a that, Orach Chaim is very much liked by the Hasidim. So that's a very that's a perspective of that's what Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, that there's between a Hasidish Rebbe and a pulpit rabbi. Right, the Hasidic Rebbe speaks to 5,000 Hasidim at once, and everyone thinks he's speaking directly to them. The pulpit rabbi thinks he speaks to 150, and everyone thinks he's talking to the guy next to them. Right, so the Orach Chaim is giving that the Hasidic pshat, that which is the Hasidic Rebbe, and each person will be able to understand what he's referring to. Okay, so we'll move along to the second half of the parak, which really deals with the story of the Meraglim and the Devarim perspective of the story of the Meraglim. So when you go to Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, right, it says they all came to me. Rashi already pointed out yesterday that that itself was considered a problem, that they came to me in like a in a mob form. The Sforno comments that as well, that even though there are people that should be in charge of you, that there are Nesim, there is a hierarchy here, that not every, not all the 600,000 people can all come attack me at once. Still, you did that, which was considered a tochacha as well, and relevant to going into the land of Israel, where there needs to be some sort of semblance of hierarchy and government, etc. And the Sforno continues on and says, the Nishlacha Anashim, that we should, so we're going to send people to go in. So who's that? So Sforno says that their idea was, we should pick them, right? Bnei Yisrael said, Nivchar Anachlu Anashim Nishlach, let us pick people that we're going to send in. That Hashem didn't go for. That Hashem said, no way. And so Sforno turns around and says, and that's the pshat. That's where Parsha Shlach picks up, where the Parsha begins by Hashem saying, you should send your messengers, says the Sforno, you pick the messengers and not them. They're going to pick some lowlifes that are going to do bad things. Right, right. See, there's this whole controversy recently that Michael Jordan said like Steph Curry isn't like a Hall of Famer yet or something, and everyone's saying, plus Michael Jordan doesn't know how to pick talent, which, you know, it's true. Like, he hasn't really had a great job as the done great job as a talent chooser. So, like, yeah. It's a bit of a problem here, but the Sforno does account for that. The Sforno continues on and says, uvachein bachar, therefore Moshe had picked a few good people. He got Yeshua and Kalev. And even the Rishayim weren't actually so bad. That's what Sforno says. Even though they were evil in that they said, we can't conquer the land, at least they didn't say the land of Israel is a bad land. I don't know, you couldn't find 12 people in all of Klai Yisrael that maybe would have done a better job, 10 other people that would have done a better job. But that's what the Sforno says. That's what's going on in this pasuk, that the people said, we want to send. And the way you understand the first person Kishlach is that Hashem said, no way, Jose. They're not sending their spies. Moshe, you're going to choose yours. And Moshe got 2 out of 12 right.
He picked all the
Yeah, and the 10 that he got wrong, he didn't get that wrong. That's the pshat of the Sforno.
Are you saying that the spies didn't say anything wrong? He's blaming on the people.
Who says?
Moshe. In Devarim, he's saying that the spies came back.
Oh, wait, we're not up to them coming back yet. Hold on. Don't ruin it for everyone. Spoiler alert. Okay, so in Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Vaitav Beinai Hadavar, it was a good idea. So what does it mean, it was a good idea? When Moshe says it was a good idea. So Rashi says it was a good idea, right, the way we said it was a good idea, but if I would have said no, you would have said, what's Moshe trying to hide? So I figured, I'm going to say it's a really good idea, let's go ahead and do it, and then maybe you won't do it. Yeah, that's maybe what he was hoping. So Sforno says, no, ki chashavti shelo haya safik etzleichem b'davar akil yisparach shetich v'shua aretz v'shaya tova. Moshe says, the Sforno says, Moshe is suggesting that I read you wrong. It was good in my eyes what you were suggesting, because what I thought you were suggesting was that we're going to figure out how to conquer the land. That you said, oh, we're conquering the land. It's going to take a little bit of time. Let's figure out the best way of doing it, that we'll be able to get in there really fast and at least be able to set up some base that we'll be able to then settle and conquer the whole land as easily and bestly as possible. I know that's not a word, but we're going to say it anyways. Right? So that's the Sfarno suggestion. So then in Pasuk Chavav, where apparently bad things happened in the land and the spies came back and did not come back with a wonderful report. So the Pasuk there says, V'lavisem lalos v'tamru espi Hashem elokechem. You didn't want to go up and you rebelled against Hashem. Says the Sfarno, Shegilisem rashachem. You uncovered your wickedness. Meaning, it was good in my eyes what you had told me you were going to do, because I thought you had good intentions about conquering the land. And then when they came back with their report, and you immediately turned around and rebelled, what happened then? I realized you were really wicked all along. I realized that I was mistaken. I was fooled in the beginning by what your original intention was already at that time. I guess one or two more things here. So the question was asked yesterday by somebody, by Hu Biadam. Mipriya Aretz, that you took in your hands. Is that here? Is this, somebody ask a question? Do you ask a question? Why does it say be adam? Why do they keep referring to hands? Or maybe. Yeah. Why is it chu be adam? Did I mention? You know what? Actually, I don't think it was here. I think it was in. I think it was in Shmuel, in a Shmuel Shir and Shabbos, that someone pointed out that. We're learning now about the story of Goliath, and I think there's a word there that seems to appear itself a few times. But anyways, so why does it say Vayichu Biyadam? What's going on there? What's that all about? So the Or HaChaim says, I want to know this. Why is that there? So he answers, Lo Ratza Moshe Alav Hashem Lachzor Advay Marayim, that he didn't want to go and say all the gory and tell all the gory details. Shelo Orer Hadin Al Shekfar Mesu, because let's face it, he's going to go after the spies now. What's the point in going after the spies now? They're already dead. So and what mussar is that going to be for Bnei Yisrael? So Va'amar Inyan Stam Sheishivu Davar V'La'arich She'al Asara Meraglim Hu Omer Amar Vayichu Biyadam. So when it says Vayichu Biyadam, he's referring to the 10 spies. How is that the case? Because he says, the Gemara in Sota says, that the 10 spies were the ones who brought back the big fruit. So that's his key. I'm not going to talk about the wicked, no good, terrible, horrible 10 spies. We're just going to say, the 10 who carried something in their hands, as opposed to Yeshua and Kalev, that did not carry anything back. That's fair. That's what he is suggesting to me. I wanted to actually just get to this Ramban, before we finish up here. The Ramban says, two Rambans. One is that they came back and you said that the land was really good. So who were those who said it was really good? It was Yeshua and Kalev, right? Rashi says that pasuk of those people that came back and said it's a good land, that's referring to two people, right? Yeshua and Kalev. So Ramban says, but wait a second. If two spies said that it's good and 10 spies said it was no good, so who should Bnei Yisrael believe? Right. The ones who say it was no good. Ulai tana lehem, but bro, he responds by saying that once Hashem told you, it's not true. Hashem said it was going to be a good land. And guess what? The two spies who were tzaddikim agreed with Hashem. So who should you have listened to? Should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should have listened to the two spies, despite the fact that they were outvoted by the rest of the spies. You should have put that together with Hashem's promise, and that should have won out against the other 10. And then there's one more. There's the Ramban. The Ramban in Pasuk Lamed Zayin that Moshe gets upset with them. Zulasi Kali Ben Yifun Hu Yiran V'Lo Yitenes Ar. Sorry, Lamed Zayin. Gambihis Anaf Hashem. Big Lachem. That Hashem got angry at me also. So where do we see that Hashem got angry at me also because of the story with the spies? So the Ramban says, that's what led to everything else. Had the Meraglim not gone wrong, so then I would have there wouldn't have been a rock issue. That wouldn't have happened. Vodu saftan lachtu b'pam acheres ad sheminim gam usim lavor. There were other sins that actually eventually got me to sin also. Ki rotzel lahaske yachad onish kol animnim me'avor al aretz. And he wanted to mention here, put together all of those people that are not going into the land because of their sins. And ultimately Moshe's in that group of those that are not going into the land because of their sins. Ki yaske kan in Yoshua. And also to mention the idea of Yoshua, but Yoshua, because he was successful the time of the Raglan and didn't hit this rock later on, he's going to lead you in, and therefore you should have your full trust, and you should follow him. Okay, so that was our selection of Mefarshim and Perek Aleph, Yasher Kayach, and pick up in Yirtzeh Hashem on Thursday.